Hello everyone, welcome to the podcast series Banking on Value Exchange. My name is Bal Gopal. I'm a senior principal with the solution consulting team of Santig, and with me today I have from Simon Kocher, senior director Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
So I'm Abhi, senior director at Simon Kocher. I'm the global lead when it comes to payments related topics within the area of commercial growth, working across the entire value chain from payment processors, acquirers, card schemes, alternate payment methods, as well as the underlying infrastructure providers for the payments ecosystem. Glad to be here today on the podcast.
Thanks, Abhi. And today we'll be discussing about the global payments industry, which has demonstrated significant resilience in a post-pandemic world, and it's almost recouped its revenue erosion that it experienced during the pandemic times. And today it's rebounded at a growth rate of almost 11% and reaching new highs of over $2 trillion globally. So in this context, Abhimanyu, I would like to ask you, in this post-pandemic world where we see the effects of 2 to 3 years of lockdowns and economic slowdown now in the past, what do you see as the key challenges and opportunities in the global payment space?
Sure. So I would probably call out five trends that we have been seeing. The one would be we are seeing a lot of convergence of payments and software solutions. So effectively, as e-commerce businesses have been growing and more companies that were traditionally in the in-store business have been moving towards e-commerce, one of the key aspects has become, how do you bridge the software solution? How do you bridge the e-commerce operations and the associated payments together so that you provide a holistic experience for the customers, whether these are B2B companies or B2C companies? So the convergence of payment and software solutions has become a pretty big trend that we have been seeing. The second trend that we are seeing is that merchants are becoming more demanding and they are seeking an all-in-one solution. So what we see, for instance, is that it's just not okay anymore to have an in-store business for payments and a separate e-commerce business, but customers or the merchants themselves, the businesses that are selling the solutions, are looking for an omni-channel solution. So that's one sub-trend. The other sub-trend within the merchants becoming a bit more demanding is that they are expecting, if they are purchasing a software for their bookkeeping or if they are purchasing a software for their property management system, this is integrated with their payments functionality so that they don't have to go in and get separate contracts for software and for payments and then have manual processes behind them, but to really have it as a all integrated solution. So that's the second trend that we are seeing. The third trend is that we are also seeing changes in terms of the end consumers who have been empowered by the new offering. So we are seeing, for instance, buy now, pay later solutions coming on the market. We are also seeing that mobile wallets coming out, whether it was from the Chinese market in terms of WeChat Pay, Alipay, or when we look in the US side, we have the likes of Venmo coming out. And then PayPal has also made a bit more inroads in there. So with the likes of the existing and traditional players on the wallet side, as well as the new age players such as Klarna, the customers have seen a few improvements in terms of their overall customer journey, that they are able to get a seamless experience in whatever they are purchasing, whether it is in-store or whether it is online, and they have access to more services. So customers have become more empowered by the new offering, and as a result, when they go out and do any shopping, they are expecting their business to be a bit more geared towards companies that are able to offer them a seamless experience with a range of options. The other aspect that we are also seeing, and the fourth trend on there, is that the platforms and marketplaces are increasing their relevance because they have also embraced a similar aspect around integrating the payment solutions, going out even a bit further and incorporating the additional financial services so that they are able to provide a holistic set of solutions, not only on their core platform, but also for their accounts payables, account receivables, procurement, as well as the additional services around fraud detection or foreign exchange services so that they can really capture that SMB part of the market. And the last part or the last trend I would probably call out is around the disruption and the overall consolidation, because all of these changes have been driven in by the introduction of new players onto the scene. And given the success that a few of these players have had, the larger players such as Visa and MasterCard, for example, have been pretty active in acquiring them and consolidating them. We've also seen similar pressure coming on the traditional players on the payments processing and acquirer, where they have gone in and consolidated vertically as well as horizontally. So these are the five key trends that we are seeing on the market, which represent challenges as well as opportunities for the existing players as well as the new ones coming onto the market.
All right. So Abid, you also see opportunity for payment firms to monetize in this scenario?
Yes, absolutely. So I think monetization is one of the key parts that a lot of businesses struggle with. And this is equally true for the traditional players on the market that were providing these services on a standalone basis, as well as those who are the new age ones, which are embedding it within their existing solutions, whether they be software or any kind of services that they're providing. So when we think about monetization, I would call out three key things that companies need to look at. The first one is, how are they offering their existing solutions or services? The second one is going to be around, how are they charging for it? Not so much as what are they charging, but how are they charging for it? And the third one is, of course, how much they are charging for it. I'll probably go through each of these step by step. So on the first one, in terms of what is it that they're offering or how is it that they're offering it, we need to be conscious that for any particular business, their customer base will have different segments in there. And these segments have quite a strong variance in terms of needs usually. There would be customers that are global, where they require a fairly complex solution, where they want a larger range of payment methods, where they want a very high quality of service, for example. You would have other customers that are more regional, where the needs are going to be quite specific in terms of the payment methods that you need. Some of the additional services that a global firm would need, for example, fraud detection, are going to be required at a much lower scale. So it's really knowing what your customers need and accordingly tailoring the proposition that you develop to be geared for success for those respective customer segments. A classical example is that if you think about the SMB part of the market, which is effectively the smaller merchants, you want the proposition to be as simple and as intuitive for these merchants to take up. And the reason for that is that their focus is on running their business, not on managing their finances. That's probably the last thing that they want to do. So you want to go towards more simplistic solutions with them. Whereas when you look at the larger organizations, they would typically have a separate finance team, they would have a separate procurement team, where the attention is going to be a lot more detailed in terms of what the needs are, as well as a lot more negotiation involved. So you would need to have a slightly more detailed offer, or even a lot more detailed offer than you would need to have an SMB to be resonant in there. Another key challenge to targeting these customer segments is that for the larger customers, you typically look for what we call land and expand. You want to get in by selling a certain set of solutions and then expand the entire gambit of solutions that you offer. So the way you sell to them needs to be a bit more catered towards entering into a relationship and then expanding what you're actually selling. The second topic that I was getting to is that, how are you charging for it? Because when you charge for it in the payments industry, you have multiple ways of charging, whether it's the different types of price metrics. Are you going in on an IC++ model? Are you going in on a fully blended? Are you going in for differentiated blending? These kind of models have extremely different impacts on the cost on the one hand, as well as the uptake by the merchant. So again, the example of SMB merchants, IC++ is a fairly technical aspect and alien to majority of the merchants, because they don't understand the interchange fees, they don't necessarily understand the scheme fees and how it varies by different cards. So going into these SMB merchants with IC++ is always more challenging. So you go in with a more differentiated blending option, where you have pricing for the different type of cards, all aggregated. So for example, you would say Visa, MasterCard, the pricing is X%. If it is a domestic transaction, if it's an international transaction, it's Y%. So differentiating it and making it slightly intuitive for the merchants helps with the conversion of the merchants, but on the other hand, also helps the business manage their costs better. Then the third part, which is quite important again, is how much is it that you're charging for it? And in terms of charging for the prices, there are a couple of components that need to be really synced up to get the best value that you can deliver to the customers and charge for that value. So you need to have a good sense of what are the things that are really important for the customers of yours or the merchants of yours. How are you placed on those value drivers for those customers versus the other players in the market to really understand what your premium is? You also need to have a sense of what the market pricing is, because you might be delivering a lot of value on the market, but if it is extremely disconnected with the market players, you wouldn't be able to get the success that you're hoping for. So understanding the value, understanding the premium you can get over the competitors, as well as knowing from the existing customers, as well as the prospective customers, what their willingness to pay is, can help you really understand at a very granular level what price levels would get you to be successful in conversions, as well as maintaining healthy margins. So those are the three key things I would call out when we are thinking about how the companies can make the most of the opportunities or monetize the opportunities.